And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you, talking fantasy and looking ahead to the weekend, which includes the Stadium Series, so we're really excited about that. What's going on, Nick?
Not too much. We will unveil, and we have on social media the last couple days, there are fantasy rosters for the Stadium Series coming up. As you saw, I am pro Team Jensen, which is funny because I have my own team, but we'll break those down later on. But without further ado, off the top, we've got to bring in the guest of the day, our man from the FTN Network, from Mean Streets and Dangle Bet Selly. It is Chris Meaney. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Always a pleasure to jump on the show. I want to say that you guys are crushing it. You guys, it's a great duo, and I've had a lot of fun listening to you guys talk fantasy hockey and everything NHL over the past few weeks. So I always appreciate the invite. Thanks.
The shot prop master. What's been hidden for you lately? Because some people fade you sometimes.
Yeah. You know, the market has changed a little bit when it comes to shot props, right? Like certain guys that we've been hammering over the past like couple months, like for example, you know, Sam Bennett started off the season at 2.5. Like he was the guy, and then all of a sudden he jumped up to 3.5. Some books are at 4.5, and it's like, okay, maybe you got to fade him or go the other way. And, you know, he just had 7 shots the other night, so maybe he's back on our radar. I know Cole Caulfield is going to be a topic of, you know, with us. Like we might as well just talk about him right now, right? Yeah. This is a guy that is playing with a ton of confidence, and he's shooting the puck, and he's been plus money for 2.5 shots over the past couple of weeks. He does look like a different player. So he is one of those guys I've been looking at. Taylor Hall has been shooting the puck. I know Brad Marchand's going to return tonight, so maybe a few less shot attempts when it comes to Taylor Hall, but he has been one. Really, Patrick Laine is on an absolute heater. He's shooting the puck, playing with a ton of confidence as well. You guys know this. I love to target volume shooters. Timo Meier has 30 shots in his last 4 games. Like, these are guys that are shooting the puck. They love to shoot the puck. They're on the power play. They're the trigger man's on the power play. Matt Boldy's another one who's just kind of popped up recently, getting first power play time, playing on that half boards, on the half board. I noticed Kaprizov is looking for him every single time on the power play. This is another guy maybe to just kind of keep your eye on, is not afraid to shoot the puck.
Right. What Patrick Laine is doing lately is unreal. He's playing with Boone Jenner. Jenner's got like, I think, 15 in his past 13, something like that. Laine's got a 10-game point streak totaling 20 points. So it is actually turning into kind of one of those situations where you kind of want to get a piece of Columbus, which is surprising to say, right, Chris? But any way that you can. I even picked up Adam Boqvist the other day. He's quietly 4th among defensemen in goals per game, and he's 1 of 6 with 10-plus goals at the position. So I'm even going there. I'm picking up Adam Boqvist.
Well, no Werenski today, right, Nick? So there's news that he's not going to travel with the team. So, I mean, it's a good pickup, Pete, not just for, you know, DFS. You could be on your radar for kind of like a quote-unquote punt play, save a little bit of cash at that position, but also in deeper formats, he's going to get a boost here in ice time, especially tonight in a game against Florida where we have a goal total at 7.
Oh, 1,000%, fellas. I want a piece of that Laine pie. So I'm looking at Jenner. I'm looking at Voracek. I'm looking at Boqvist, especially with Werenski out of that lineup. Because this way, you know, the way this guy is shooting the puck right now, 12 in the last 9 games. And full credit to Pete for the article you put out on Jan 1, or around Jan 1, projecting this type of breakout for Laine. Pete, it's been pretty much as advertised. And this is the best I've seen him skate in like 2 years, Petey.
He's playing great. He looks like the Laine of old, and he has some talent around him. I think, you know, a lot of people, including myself, dismiss Columbus a little bit, but the coaching change impact there is real when everybody's healthy. They were playing at a high level on the power play before Laine's injury. You know, unfortunately, I know his father passed away, and that has like had an impact on him positively in terms of him turning his career around. So you love to see that from one of the most talented goal scorers in the NHL. And certainly Columbus, it's funny, Columbus in the standings right now, we always look at the Islanders games in hand. And if you gave the Islanders 4 wins for their 4 games in hand, they would be right where Columbus is. So maybe Columbus is the one team that's kind of within striking distance if they stay healthy obviously they'll need Werenski, but is there anything you're looking at for Columbus futures wise to make the playoffs, Chris, or is that a pipe dream?
I think it's a bit of a pipe dream. I think you're on to something, though. They are playing well. I mean, obviously, they're getting that offense from Laine and other guys. I really like Bjorkstrand as a player. I think, you know, he's a really good shooter, and he can put the puck in the net as well. They do play that up-tempo style, which is great for fantasy. It's great for DFS. It's great for targeting shot props and goal props. I still think they're a little loose defensively. So if they can get the goaltending, I mean, Berube came in there and has played pretty decent over the past couple games. But if Elvis can stay healthy, you know, if he could give them something, maybe they can make a push. But I don't know. I kind of see the East set, honestly, when it comes to the playoffs is what we see right now, I think, is what we're going to get. I know the Wings have made a little bit of a push. They get a tough schedule moving forward, but I can't see them in there. And then the Islanders, you mentioned the games in hand, but, you know, a loss to the Habs last week and still playing pretty inconsistent, not getting a lot of offense. I think this Blue Jackets team is exciting, Nick, but I don't think that they're going to get in. But one thing I noticed with Laine, it's, you're right, he does look like a different player. Looks like he's having fun. The ice time is there. He's got a boost in ice time per game this year compared to last year. Same thing on the power play. Last year was, I don't know, maybe it was Tortorella. I don't know, a new environment, right? No. Just kind of getting familiar with the team and certain players, but he's really, really shooting the puck. And I just look at the ice time, and I know plus minus is a silly stat too, but minus 29 for this guy in 45 games last year. He's on the plus side this year. More goals, more points this season than last year, and 14 fewer games. So they're getting the offense, but I just don't think that they can get it done defensively or in goal to really make that push.
Yeah, I would love to see him return to sort of the top scope of scores in this league, you know, with Matthews, with Ovechkin, with Pasternak. Because let's not forget, it was a short time ago where we were perceiving and looking at Patrick Laine as an elite goal scorer. And I wonder if he can get back, especially at that clip he's shooting at right now. I wanted to circle back, guys, to the Montreal Canadiens, your beloved Montreal Canadiens. I'm sure you're not taking a flyer on a futures to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you know, how much has your betting changed, say, in the last week in terms of the Montreal Canadiens, in terms of the way they're playing under Martin St-Louis?
Yeah, I think you, I mean, you got to follow trends. I know you follow them, certainly with coaching changes. I see you tweeting all the time. And
I do.
There's something to be said about that, right? Yeah. This was a team that I was betting against all year long. All year long. Books at the start of the season, they were pricing them as a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. They were favored in a lot of games. I don't think they were really paying attention to a lot of things that we've talked about when you guys have me on this show. Starting the season without Price, without Weber, without Edmundston, Petrie playing hurt, best defensive forward on their team, Deneau gone, Kotkaniemi gone. This wasn't the same team, and it was easy to kind of just pick on them. On the puck line, they had lost, I think over 50% of their losses have been by at least two goals. Like, it was quote-unquote free money. But if you follow this team now, and if you have been following them all year, I mean, the coaching change has been significant. It needed to happen months ago, and it's not really a shot at Ducharme. He's had some success coaching. He won a Memorial Cup with the Mooseheads. He won a World Junior Championship. Like, I do believe he is a good coach, but he lost the room, and it was in a tough spot, just a tough spot for him with all those players I mentioned that were no longer around. I noticed that it didn't even look like they were trying, Pete. The effort wasn't there night in and night out. You heard players that were leaders on this team, like Jeff Petrie, talk about how there's no system, there's no structure with the squad. There was clearly frustrations. Guys like Cole Caulfield were playing on the fourth line, getting 11 minutes a night. We had guys like Paquette playing more than him. It was just really puzzling. So you see the coaching change, and it just looks like the effort is there. That is what I'm seeing that's different about Montreal over the past couple weeks compared to the first 2 months, is that at least the effort is there with this squad. I don't think that they're going to continue this winning streak. They're beating up on some mediocre teams, but Pete, the effort is there, and it does start with a guy like Cole Caulfield, right? You heard Martin St. Louis talk about systems and concepts and how he wants to have his players play freely and loose and just be creative, and you're seeing that with Caulfield. He played the other night 20 minutes. It was a season high for him. He'd only played one game over 17 minutes with Dom Ducharme in the 30 games. He had one goal. He already has more points than he had in those 30 games with Ducharme in, what, the 8 or 9 games here with St. Louis. So you're seeing creativity from him. Another guy that's loving to shoot the puck. He's putting the puck between his legs. You know, he's having fun out there. These are things that you just didn't see from him. So I think you ride this out a little bit. you know, books are like last night, they were plus money at home against a mediocre Buffalo team. And if you were on that, you know, it worked out for you. But we're definitely seeing a little bit of changes, Pete. But I think it's mostly just with some of these younger players, he's more willing to give them, you know, more ice time and just seeing what they have.
Absolutely. And we got a fan question from Ethan on Twitter. He's asking, are we convinced on Caulfield in terms of his staying power for the rest of the season? He's thinking of dropping Brock Besser for Caulfield in a one-year league. I'm not sure I would go that far. I still have a little faith in that Canucks offense, and I don't have much level of trust in this particular Montreal Canadiens team for the rest of the season outside of Suzuki and Caulfield. But I think it's a fair question, and I'd be curious to hear what each of you guys think about it, Caulfield or Besser.
Yeah, like it's, you know, I saw that today. I'm teetering, guys. I won't lie. I'm buying into the Caulfield hype. I mean, this is what we expected, Chris, for this guy in the preseason. I mean, there's a reason why he was a favorite for the Calder Trophy. And I'm not dispelling anything that Brock Besser has put together, especially under Bruce Boudreaux. But the way Caulfield's playing, you know, the way he's skating and that electric shock, I might think about it deeper than most people think, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of with you. You know, Brock Besser, I think he has more upside. I think he's got a higher ceiling. It's tough to give up on a player like him. I mean, the Canucks may. I mean, he could. There's talk about potentially him getting shipped to a new team. That could benefit him or it could hurt him. Like, I like Tyler Toffoli as well, but I think Toffoli going to Calgary, I'm, you know, off track here a little bit. You know, the ice time goes down. I think that could happen with Brock Besser if he was shipped to a new team as well. But I think I would ride this out with Cole Caulfield. But before you drop a big name player like Brock Besser, I think you just need to make him available to your league mates. You see a guy, you tell him, I mean, I'm looking at the back of his game log now. He's got 2 goals in his last 4 games. He's got 7 goals in the last 3 weeks here. I mean, he's still, you know, he's shooting the puck. He's still valuable. He's still a decent fantasy asset. So before you just maybe cut ties, I would try to make him available. But you are running out of time if you want Cole Caulfield. I mean, I'm surprised that he would even be available right now. I know people are playing in some shallower leagues, and those are the tough decisions that you always have to make. If you're in an 8-team league or a 10-team league, do you drop a big name value like Brock Besser? I think yes. I think I would do it. But like I said, I think I would make him available before you just drop him. Just make him available. See if there's anybody in your league that is willing to maybe take Brock. Maybe if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, maybe you just get a pick or something like that.
And I got an interesting debate question, because two new additions to the top 50 rankings on NHL.com. Patrick Laine is one of them, and Dylan Larkin is another. And I know Larkin could be getting Jacob Vrana back in the future. Which guy do you like more for the rest of the season and just in general? Because even Larkin is insanely hot, 54 points in 47 games for a non-contending team. I mean, he's been as good as anybody on any of, say, the bottom 5-10 teams in the league in terms of individual players.
He's got points in 8 straight games. Nick, you talked about shot props. He's one of those guys too, who just quietly, you know, you see 2.5 and, you know, you take it. You see sometimes plus money for him to have an assist. I know you take it because he's got 28 helpers on the year. He plays a ton. He played 24 minutes the other day against the Rangers. And I know he's been battling through a couple injuries this season, and he's still really productive. That is a super tough question. Like, one or the other. I typically lean with the shooter and the goal scorer when Laine, but I do believe it depends on your settings. Of course, if you're playing with faceoff wins, then you'd have to give the edge to Larkin. If you're not playing with shots, then I think you give the edge to Larkin as well. You know, some people play with, you know, power play goals. So it's another benefit, I think, to Patrick Laine. Man, I'm on the fence here. Give me the goal scorer in Patrick Laine. But, man, Larkin is having a phenomenal season, like you said. I think a couple weeks ago, he was inside the top 15 in scoring, too. So, I mean, both guys are phenomenal. But I take the goal scorer every time.
I'm sorry, but history is going to determine my answer. I've been burned way too many times by Patrick Laine. So I'm going with Larkin. Going with the sure thing. I know Laine's on fire right now. I know he's got 12-9, but he could easily be cold next week. And just by his history in this league, I have to go with Dylan Larkin. So, you know, the trade deadline's coming up. Certainly we're going to throw some names out there, but I'm glad you brought up the Vancouver Canucks. What's your read on the Canucks? Because I don't know what the rush is, and maybe it's media driven to make some moves. I know they're unlikely to make the playoffs. They're playing really good under Bruce Boudreaux. But what is the rush to make all these trades for these big names? Like Besser makes sense because his contract's done and he's an RFA following the season, but you could still trade him around the draft. Like the Miller rumors don't make sense unless you get a ridiculous return. So what's your stance on the Vancouver Canucks and all this hoopla right now, Chris?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think they should just be patient. Maybe expectations are a little high. I don't know what the expectations in Vancouver were this year. Last year, they had obviously they were awful last year. In the start of this season, they were brutal too. But they made some changes in management. I think that they ride this out a little bit. You know, JT Miller's I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, he's terrific. He touches a lot of categories. He basically does everything for you. But also a guy that I think most contenders would love to have inside the top six. And I think he could, you know, I think you could get a really good return for him. So, I mean, if you could get a first or a couple prospects, maybe I could see Vancouver wanting to do something like that. I would like to see them keep Brock Besser. I would like to see them just make some trades maybe in the off season. Maybe it's a trade like Brock Besser. Maybe it's a draft day trade, or, you know, something happens through free agency. This is a team that I think if you're looking on the outside, I mean, people wouldn't have said that this was a playoff team. So, I mean, I think you just ride with the new management, the new coaching staff, and you see what you have with these players down the stretch. But Pete, they have been, I guess, pretty disappointing over the past couple of years. I say that there's the expectations maybe are a little bit too high, but I didn't see them as a playoff team. You want to get something for JT Miller, fine, but I don't think you need to just start trading all your young core pieces away just because it didn't work last year in a shortened season playing in the North Division, or this year, you know, with the coaching staff. You made that change already. So I'd like to see them kind of hang on to some of their pieces personally.
I mean, look at who they're playing on Thursday, and it's like they're looking at their former selves in the mirror with Toffoli and Markstrom and Tanev, and the Flames, of course, super hot and 10 straight wins. And speaking of the Flames, I think, you know, he's not going to ever get any love for MVP, but Elias Lindholm is really solidifying himself among the fantasy elite. He's been there for probably two seasons now, but the guy just continues to climb the rankings, has two elite line mates in Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk, and the guy's just amazing right now. He's got goals in, what, 8 or 9 straight games? It's insane what this guy's putting together.
Yeah, Lindholm, I mean, he may win one award. He could get Selke, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Sure. Maybe could put him in the conversation. He could be in the mix. And this Flames team is, I am completely on board. I am definitely there. I think they're going to continue to add. They're just going to be a really tough team to play against in the playoffs. In a 7-game series, they're going to be really tough to play against. We already know Sutter and what he, you know, with the cups, and now he's bringing in some of his former guys, you know, Lucic, and brings in Toffoli. I think that they're fine in goal and Markstrom. People keep saying on my show that Markstrom is going to get tired eventually and he's just going to collapse. I guess maybe is that Canucks fans saying that? I'm not totally sure. Probably, he looks, yes. Like, yeah, I mean, he looks fine to me. 2 weeks ago, he was 22-1 to win the Vezina. Now he's 5-1. The Flames were 25-1 to win the Cup. Now they're 15-1. Clearly, wow. Getting in on them now is maybe a little bit too late, and, you know, considering they've won 10 in a row. But before the Toffoli news, they were 25-1. You had an opportunity to get in. I just think that they're going to be a really tough team to play. And this Flames team, I think heading into the season, I knew that they were going to be stingy. I knew they were going to get good goaltending. They weren't going to give up a lot of goals. But that top line, the chemistry on that second line, you know, bring in Coleman, who has obviously a lot of experience, but he looks great alongside Mangiapane. And I looked at Backlund too. I mean, he is second in the league in expected goals at 5.5 per 60 over last month. That, to me, like, I was like, what? Wait, like, that's the second line that's really doing well on top of the first line. And then you bring it to Foley to give them some depth. Nick, I think this is a team that they could really make some noise in the playoffs.
The key point there is made for the playoffs. Like, that's, you know, the one idea I had going in my head going into the season. I wondered, because, hey, the Pacific Division was wide open. It was Vegas and everybody else. So there was opportunity there for, first and foremost, for Calgary. And number two, just the way that roster was built with some of the pieces they brought in, the head coach they have, You know, Johnny Gaudreau in a contract year, Jacob Markstrom in a bounce back. I will add too that it is Calgary and Vancouver, as Pete alluded to on Thursday. I would look at a Tyler Toffoli anytime goal, because we all know at this point he owns the Vancouver Canucks, so certainly would look there. And my call on today's podcast is that Vancouver wins that game, because the win streak has to end eventually. It's at 10 games as we speak right now. Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the one team, in your opinion right now, who has to make a move between now and the deadline? Some teams I would throw out there for you that are, in my world, Edmonton, Toronto, and Boston.
Boston is a good one. I think all three of those teams actually are good teams, good candidates. I would like to see Minnesota make a move. I think they're right there. I know that they haven't been getting the goaltending lately. Boldy is added another element. He has gotten Kevin Fiala going. I'd like to see them maybe acquire a defenseman. Maybe I think that's their weakness. I do believe that they have on the blue line. I would like to see them add. Nashville's an interesting team to me as well. They've been pretty surprising. I know that Philip Forsberg is getting floated around as a potential guy that is available. I'm sure that Poyle is, you know, Nashville is listening, but I think that they're going to keep their face of the franchise there in Philip Forsberg. I would like to see them add as well. I mean, what are the Leafs going to do? Do they need more offense? I don't think so. I hear, you know, JT Miller is getting floated around. I think I saw Elliot Friedman talk that his guess was that JT Miller would be a Maple Leaf. If he went to the Leafs, I mean, sure. I mean, offensively, they can play with anybody, but I still think they have issues in goal, and I think they have issues on the blue line. So, I mean, those would be my teams. I think Toronto, Boston, maybe get somebody on the blue line in Boston too. And then for Minnesota, Pete, I really like this Wild team too. I don't think enough people talk about Minnesota. They're flashy offensively, which we're not used to seeing, but I think, you know, if they could get a top four defenseman or even a bottom six pair, somebody to help them out defensively, to kind of limit those high danger chances, I think that that's another team that could really make some noise.
I think that the Minnesota Wild are like a piece away from being a legitimate team that could win the cup, because I would like their chances of extending a series against either Colorado or Vegas if they met up again with them. So yeah, that's a really interesting thing, and they could be in the mix for a forward. They already got three strong lines though. On defense, they've gotten some decent performances from Goligoski at points, Brodin at points. Now Dumba's injured, and Spurgeon has been a little hot and cold this year as well. So I don't know if they'd be in on Jacob Chychrun, but there are a couple other defensemen out there who are in contract years for non-contending teams. Mark Giordano, Hampus Lindholm, Ryan Pulock for the Islanders. Be interesting to see if Lou sells at the deadline, but maybe they could be in the mix for one of those guys.
This one is a two-pronged. Nick from Toronto being me. Could they be a dark horse for Marc-Andre Fleury? Because I don't know where he's going, Chris. And number two, somebody on Instagram did write in, Talbot or Kakanen. I know coming out of the All-Star break, and I know Talbot was an All-Star, but he's turned 15 goals in the last four games. Do they have a goalie problem in Minnesota, in your opinion?
They might. They may. I noticed lately they have been allowing a lot of high danger chances. It's kind of why I think I went to them originally with your last question, was that I feel like they maybe need some help on the blue line. But, you know, Pete, you know, talked about their top four. When they're fully healthy, I think they're fine. I have a lot of shares of both. And I think if you can have both on your team, I think that's the way to go. I think I'm in a league with Pete when I have both Minnesota goalies, and I just play whatever one is playing. I see upside with both. I've seen struggles with both at times. I do believe that Cam Talbot is the guy there. I think he's the starter this year. I don't think he's the future goaltender, but I think, you know, if you ask Minnesota and management and, you know, the coaching staff, I believe that they think that they have the belief in Cam Talbot to eventually take over that net. So I would hang on to him. But yeah, I think you could ride this out with both goalies. I think that's a tandem, one of the rare tandems, I think, in the league where you can just play both. Minnesota's a really good team. Over the last 2 months, they've basically struggled against two teams, and one being the Winnipeg Jets. They've handled most teams, especially when they're at home. I kind of overlooked Edmonton when you brought them up. There's no question they need a goaltender. They need Marc-Andre Fleury more than...
No.
There's no question. I, they could get Fleury... I would view them as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. I really would. I think that that's their issue. They haven't been able to figure this out. They weren't able to lock up Markstrom a couple years ago, and they went to the arch rivals. It seems like a huge mistake. Mike Smith is not it. I saw Pete the other day. He had to use his trapper to push himself up back off the ice to get up, and I just felt for him, man. As a guy who's aging, he doesn't look sharp. Koskinen only has moments. They should be much better than what they are. There's no reason that they should be fighting for their playoff lives with the superstars that they have, three lines that can roll at you, and decent defensemen as well. I don't know if Fleury's on the move, but if they can find a way to get Fleury on their team, I'd feel a lot differently about them.
There's no question that they owe it to Connor McDavid to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury and help him out here. Let's help these guys out. They're two of the best in the NHL in the past 10 years combined, you know, between the two guys statistically, and they deserve a better goaltender. We'll leave it at that. So big return on Thursday, especially for a shot prop guy like yourself, Chris. Dougie Hamilton leads all defensemen in shots on goal per game. Is this a lock here, Dougie Hamilton against the Pittsburgh Penguins from a shot prop standpoint?
Yeah, you could get them at Just Looking Out, or free prop shop over at ftnbets.com. A little shameless
nice plug
there.
Well done.
-134 across most books. Usually this is a guy that's 3.5. When he was healthy starting the season all last year with Carolina, his shot prop was set at 3.5, usually plus money. But I think, you know, not having seen him since, I believe, the first week in January, you know, maybe books are just a little slow to kind of price him appropriately. So, I mean, across all boards, FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, those north of the border, Bet365, he's at 2.5 everywhere. I've been riding Jack Hughes. I mean, Jack Hughes has been shooting the puck too. His price is not as nice. And Jesper Bratt's another guy on this Devils team as well. I mean, they play a lot of tempo games as well, a lot of overs when it comes to them. But yeah, I think Pete, 2.5, Dougie Hamilton. Nick, I think he probably has 3 shots. It's my favorite bet, but I can get behind it.
Yeah, you talk about guys who love shooting the puck. None more than him. I know Jesper Bratt's expected back for the Devils. And I'm happy you brought that up, Pete, because like the Devils, Chris, are a team that I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that next step. I know goaltending's been a controversy and an issue throughout this season. Mackenzie Blackwood just can't stay in the lineup. What's your expectation for the Devils over the next little while? Because at some point you have to get to the next hump, right? Because I know it's a tough division, but I want to see some progression with this team outside of Jack Hughes, of course.
Yeah, I would like to see it as well. I think this was the sleeper team for most people. I know a lot of analytical models or whatnot. I saw a lot of people talking about this Devils team being a playoff team, and they've had a lot of unluck. It starts in goal. We just talked about Hamilton. Hughes missed some time. Sharon Govich started slow. Bratt missed a little bit of time. But up and down their lineup, they've had a lot of freak injuries, some key players missing time. They need a goalie. They need to figure it out in net. That's it. I have a lot of nice young pieces. You mentioned Jack Hughes is having a really good season. Jesper Bratt, quietly, basically a point-per-game guy. Nico Hischier's been really good over the past couple weeks. A player that I really like that started off slow. I drafted him everywhere, and then now recently just picking him back up after I dropped him in the first month of the season, is Yegor Sharangovich. He's got a ton of skill. He's another guy who really likes to shoot the puck. He's got some chemistry there with Jack Hughes. He's got points in 4 straight games, 2 goals over the last 4. This is a team that I would like to see continue to build in the offseason, right? Pete, they made a couple moves in the offseason. Bringing in Dougie Hamilton was great. They got some of these young, nice forwards. I think continue to build on the blue line. Subban's obviously going to be gone from the team, free up a little bit of cash there. I think, you know, finding a goaltender is number one priority for me when it comes to the Devils. They're certainly a team on the rise, but they need to figure out and goal first before we can take them seriously.
For sure. I mean, they're one of the few teams out there among the bottom feeders, you know, maybe along with Buffalo, where there's a real like surplus of prospects that are going to be knocking at the door the next 2 or 3 seasons. Maybe not so fast this year, but a team to watch in dynasty leagues, in particular the Devils for sure. Goaltending wise on the waiver wire right now, it's pretty thin. I'm streaming Anton Forsberg in one league, but I know Matt Murray's coming back. So that's a toss up for the rest of the season, but he's been really good. wanted to throw at you, Chris, Logan Thompson, Vegas Golden Knights. Robin Lehner is injured. Laurent Brossoit has not been that great lately. Hasn't been getting the W's, at least for me in one league. Do you know anything about Logan Thompson? Are you trusting him to any extent for one of the best teams out there that now has Eichel back?
I picked him up in one league as well. I see that he's 1% owned in Yahoo, so maybe it's just you.
You're
and
the two
I
guys who have Logan Thompson. Yeah. That's it.
That's it. Yeah,
worth a mention. I think
Vegas has a back to back, and I'm hoping that he gets the start against Arizona, and it's not him between the pipes against the Avs on the second half of that back to back. I don't think I could trust him in that outing. I think just deep league stuff, maybe streaming. I think Brossoit is going to be the guy there. He's been hot or cold. He's been okay. I mean, He's 903 save percentage is not fantastic, but Vegas team is good. Like you said, they're still missing obviously Stone, but even without their best defensive forward, they're still a team that doesn't really give up a whole lot at 5-5. I still view them as one of the stingiest teams in eliminating high danger chances and scoring chances. So you do have that going for a guy like Brossoit or maybe Thompson if you are going to stream him. I think it's just a deep league ad. I do believe that Brossoit will be the guy eventually, but I have major concerns about Vegas lately, and it's because of their goaltending. Nick, I obviously we could sit here and talk about it. They should have kept Fleury. Yes. Clearly, they should have found a way to keep Fleury. I didn't like the move at the time to get Robin Lehner. I didn't like that at all. I thought they were fine with Fleury, but now this is the team that they have to roll with. And you know, Vegas has them as a Stanley Cup favorite. You know, behind Colorado and Florida, and the Leafs are right there. But Nick, if Lehner is not healthy, I don't think that Brossoit is going to be. It's going to help them get to where they want to be.
It's Lehner or bust. And, you know, I took some heat in the Vegas market 2 months ago when I went on VSiN, I think it was, and I said they traded the wrong goalie, which I still hold to. I think Marc-Andre Fleury should be the guy in Vegas. He's not. Robin Lehner just hasn't been the same guy for a couple years now, and it's unfortunate. But I'm right there with you. They better hope that Robin Lehner, the guy they thought they signed, shows up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it could be a quick exit, especially the way Calgary's playing. If you get further, you play a team like Colorado. There's some really, really good teams and strong teams and some deep teams, guys, in the Western Conference. But certainly we have to be excited, Chris, about the Jack Eichel debut. You know, we called our shot on the show last week that our guy, nice, or my guy, Gino Dadonov, lasted, I think, 7 shifts on that top line, back to line 3. The biggest thing that didn't make sense for me, and not to, you know, go back to last summer, but why would you trade Marc-Andre Fleury because of the money and then go out and get Evgeny Dadonov for that money? Like, it didn't make sense from that standpoint.
No, it made zero sense. And, you know, I think if you asked management, you know, secretly to tell you, they would regret it. They would tell you, we're trying to get him off of the books immediately so we could get, you know, Mark Stone back in the lineup. They have to make some sort of move unless Stone is going to just be on long-term IR the rest of the year, like Kucherov last year, and they make that switch. But I would, if I was running the show in Vegas, I would love to see this team at full health. We can't just throw in Stone in the playoffs and let them go. I think we want to see them build some chemistry and see where guys, you know, fit in and with their lines. I'm with you. Dadonov lasted a couple shifts. He had a ton of scoring chances. I think Eichel gave him 2 breakaways, and I think Pete DeBoer was like, that's it, you're done. You're off the first line. We'll get Taylor Stevenson on there on the first line next time. But yeah, I think the guy to trade would be Dadonov. Maybe a team like Arizona takes him, a couple more picks. Maybe Montreal takes him. Who knows what those teams are going to do, you know, with just acquiring maybe big contracts and getting some picks. But if they were able to get rid of him, keep that Misfits line together, and away they go. But I did see just now that Robin Lehner at least returned to practice. So I think that's a good sign that maybe, Pete, you and I can drop Thompson.
Yeah, your guy.
That's a good nugget for sure. Someone was asking about what do I do with Mark Stone? Is he even worth stashing on IR? Yes, he is. He's one of the top stashes out there, but I can't answer that question if he's going to be playing the rest of the season. That's up to his health. That's up to Vegas and what they're going to be doing on the trade market and stuff like that leading up to the postseason, which we're all looking forward to. And another thing with them is, like, they traded Fleury, brought on Dadonov, and then had to trade Alex Tuch. So that was another unfortunate blow for the Golden Knights that you could look back at when it's all said and done. I'm sure that was the centerpiece of the Buffalo side of that trade. So you can't look back at it in hindsight in that way, but they still had to trade away Alex Tuch, probably for salary
awesome.
Cap reasons. Yeah.
He's
awesome.
Really good.
Yeah. He's really good.
So, yeah, I mean, Chris, we've talked about a lot of trades here, and Claude Giroux is the centerpiece of everything. So wanted to get your thoughts. Is there a best fit for Claude Giroux? Fantasy-wise, is that a guy that you're going out right now and proposing trades to try to get? Because I think that there are a lot of good fits for him out there. He could play center or wing. He could really light up the scoreboard, and he's getting out of that negative town, Philadelphia. You know, you can't blame him for being negative with how the team has fallen flat, but I think it'll be a breath of fresh air for Giroux when he gets traded, if he gets traded.
Yeah, I guess it's up to him, right? He's reportedly told management that he's willing to move on. I think he's only a handful of games away from playing 1,000 as a Flyer too. He's had a great career. He's been phenomenal. He's a fantasy stud. Yeah, I mean, he touches a lot of categories for you. You mentioned he can play center, he can play the wing. Even playing the wing over the years, like with Sean Couturier on his line, he still sometimes takes faceoffs and racks up a couple faceoff wins for you. Mm-hmm. I think trying to, maybe acquire him in your fantasy league is pretty savvy. I would assume maybe most people in your league know that he could potentially, get flipped. Will it be a better landing spot? Probably. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine any team like Colorado or Minnesota that if they were able to land him, he'd be inside the top six. He'd be playing power play time. I would imagine his ice time is very similar. I mentioned Toffoli. I mean, Toffoli playing on the top line of Montreal first power play, getting all kinds of ice time. He goes to a team like Calgary, gets bumped down to the third line, not even playing power play all the time. Giroux is not going to be that kind of guy. He's going to be a quarterback on a power play. He's going to get top power play time. One team that we didn't say that needs to make a move, and I know a lot of people just give them credit. They're fine. They've been cup favorites for 3-4 years in a row, but they haven't got past the second round. The Avs, Colorado, man, the Avalanche, like they're great, but in the playoffs, something happens to this team. I know it's been Kadri over the past couple of years, but to get some secondary scoring, Kadri's been great. He's been phenomenal. Get him a winger. I mean, Burakovsky's been quiet. Nichushkin's had a solid season. They got some nice, young, up-and-coming pieces, but I think they need another piece. So I would like, if he went to Colorado, I think that'd be phenomenal. If he went to Minnesota and he played in between Fiala and Boldy, I think that would be amazing as well. I think wherever he does land will be great. Those are the two teams that kind of stand out to me. I don't think a team like the Leafs, Nick, are going to be in on Giroux.
No, with respect to Giroux from a fantasy point of view, like I really am taking a wait and see approach. Like I do agree with you. I think it's a savvy move, but you run the risk. I don't know in Colorado if he's definitely not getting PP1. So he's looking at PP2, which means he's going to play like 20 seconds for every 2-minute power play. And I think he could be on the third line. I actually think the value could be lower for Claude Giroux in Colorado, because he won't be in the top six anymore. He won't be on PP1. He won't get all the opportunities he did in Philadelphia. Now, I've been talking about it for a while. Like, naturally, I think the fit would be Minnesota with those guys on the second line, potentially the first power play unit. Because, selfishly in the fantasy world, we want to look at it from a fantasy perspective. I think Minnesota makes a lot of sense. But if he goes to Colorado, I'm probably fading on that file. That's why I think as the rumors persist here over the next couple of weeks, I wonder if I had Claude Giroux, maybe I'm trying to sell this guy actually.
It's interesting when you look at, like, we always look at it from fantasy, but if you look at it from futures, like you like Calgary so
exactly.
much more to win the cup or win, come out of the West or something after that trade, try to think creatively out there. Like Chris mentioned, even with Edmonton lands Fleury. If that happens, you look at them drastically different. So, scour the teams out there, which guys would be, we hear like three or four teams mentioned for Claude Giroux. So get creative there. And I think maybe you could make some extra money doing that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point. I think on Mean Streets last week, the Oilers were 50-1 to win the cup.
Wow.
I mean, worth a sprinkle. Right?
No.
Considering if they were able to get a goalie. Now, I know I don't right now. I think it's a sucker bet, but at 51, if they were able to get, like, if they got Fleury tomorrow, they'd be 21 in a week, 20 to 1 in a week, right? So that's the kind of, you jump on that early, a buck or two, and kind of away you go. Or you just hope that they land the piece that they need.
Yeah, find me some cap space. Like, I think Fleury makes the most sense. A, he's got to approve a deal there. And ultimately, I've been saying this for a little while now, that he's going to look around the deadline and be like, oh, there's nowhere to go but Edmonton. So I think ultimately he has to make a decision there, and it could be Edmonton. I think they have to make the cap room. Lastly, I want to leave you with this. I know you work with Impact Wrestling's Eric Young on Dangle Bet Selly. What's that experience like? And we're challenging you to a tag team match. And we're sacrificing our producer, Bob Bender, by the way.
Shut He's up, our Bob. Manager. You're gonna like that one, Bob. Eric is fantastic. He's not lying when he says he's a hockey psycho. He really is. He'll text me at 3:30 in the morning and say, "Oh my goodness, did you see that hit?" I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, what hit? Tell me the game. Tell me the dude that made the hit, guy. Like, he's super busy, of course. He's working out in the evenings. He's recording the games, and he's watching them later on. He doesn't miss any Leafs games. He doesn't miss any Preds games. Like, tonight he says, like, today we did the show this morning, and he was on the Canucks as well with you, Nick, and he said, you know, I'm not going to be able to watch that game until 3 in the morning. But believe me, I'm going to watch that game. So he's watching all the time. He's having some fun with Dangle Bet Selly. We've been together doing some fantasy hockey shows for a couple years now, and he's just kind of getting into the anytime goal scorers. And early on in the first couple weeks of the season, it was like one or two goal scorers, and then today he's like, man, I got like 10. So can you narrow it down to 5 that you like? So we're having some fun. He's very approachable. I know if you look at his wrestling promos, he seems like a mean guy and a tough guy that you don't want to get into the ring with, which is probably true, but he's just a soft teddy bear, man. He loves his hockey. He'll reach out to you. If you reach out to him, he'll give you any kind of advice. I'm in 5 leagues with him. He plays a lot of fantasy hockey, and he follows the sport just like you, just like us three and your viewers and your listeners. He is very much in tune.
That's awesome. And we had EY on the show last year, I believe. So we'll have to have him on soon. And we love cross promotion with you, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks so much for joining us, man. FTN Network, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy. Thanks for your time, man. Always great to catch up.
Yeah, like I said, you guys are absolutely crushing it. I love it. So I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll have to see if we can turn the favor, see if we can get you guys on Mean Streets or Dangle Bet Selly. The 4 of us on Dangle Bet Selly, I think it's something we need to do.
I'm into it.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Chris Meaney, always bringing the heat here on the podcast. And Pete, I wanted to leave with obviously our rosters for the stadium series. I really enjoyed you going back and forth with our great friends and followers on social media over your Granlund pick, man. I was howling.
Well, so Nick was savvy. He played Stamkos at right wing, because this was a little project we did with the NHL social media team to promote the stadium series on Saturday, TNT, Tampa Bay, back-to-back champs against Nashville in Music City, Titans Stadium. It's going to be a great watch for sure. So Nick got creative. He played Stamkos at right wing. I played Granlund at center, and this guy on Twitter was chirping me, said, how did you not put Matt Duchene there? He takes all the face-offs. I know he's technically a right wing, but yeah, maybe my blunder there. Nick got creative, but I think I have the better roster.
Oh,
I got
yeah.
Forsberg, Kucherov, Hedman, and Vasilevsky. So even if the Lightning lose that game, I think I'm in good hands with those guys.
Believe in yourself, Pete. That's all I can say. If I you know, took everything that people said on social media about me, I would not be in this industry. So I appreciated that. Just to go over our rosters quickly, Pete's got Philip Forsberg, Granlund, Kucherov, Hedman, Ekholm, Vasilevsky. I have Palat, Point, Stamkos, Yossi, Sergachev, and Saros. My strategy was quite definitive, Pete. I like Tampa winning in this game. I had a bit of line stacking. I got my guy Roman Yossi on the back end, so I thought there was value there, but it should be interesting to see how it plays out here.
Yeah, I think it's a great stage. Even what we were talking about with Chris, with Philip Forsberg. I mean, beginning of the season, Forsberg has been great when healthy, but I don't think he lived up to his potential prior to this season, but really you could say, I know you're a contract year guy, Nick, the biggest contract year performers this year, clearly Johnny Gaudreau and Nazem Kadri, but Philip Forsberg is right up there. And I think it's completely dismissed. any mm-hmm. trade proposals involving him. They can't trade Philip Forsberg. If they weren't going to a full rebuild in Nashville, which clearly they aren't, then they're going to try to make a playoff run, and Philip Forsberg is going to be a centerpiece of that. We've seen him star in the playoffs before. So 26 goals in 38 games for Philip Forsberg, among the goals per game leaders. Amazing season for him.
I'm glad you brought this up. I just wanted to bring up, don't believe everything you hear. It is wacky season in the NHL. I'm right there with you. It makes no sense to trade Philip Forsberg right now. And I just love the value of this player. In fact, I identified him at around 63 in my rankings going into the season. Love Forsberg quite a bit, which brings me to my play for Thursday. It's Pekka-Rinne jersey retirement night. The Predators ain't losing this hockey game. Dallas played last night. I was reading on Twitter last night. Dallas actually couldn't fly in until game day around 2 o'clock central. I think Nashville wins this game, Pete.
Yeah, that's a great nugget there. I mean, we saw a Dallas big win over Winnipeg. Dallas is certainly trending upwards. Good to see Tyler Seguin playing better. Jake Ottinger is one of the most valuable goalies in the league over the past couple of weeks. And then other things I'm looking at for Thursday, I mentioned the Dougie Hamilton effect on the Devils, another big return. Sounds like Brad Marchand. We know he's eligible, but I guess he had some personal matter, but he is expected to rejoin the Bruins. Get all over that in DFS. They're playing the Seattle Kraken and ride the hot hand with Boone Jenner. That guy has been a stud all year. I mean, I had some pains with him at one point, but I have him in a face-offs league that I'm actually in with Chris Meany and Eric Young, and I've kept him all year. I picked him up like the first or second week of the season, and boy, am I sure that I'm sure glad I kept him, because now Line A has fully ignited.
Tons of value, and I got one quick Friday play as well. It's always fun when Ryan O'Reilly plays the Buffalo Sabres, but the Blues are coming off a successful 3-0-1 roadie. Buffalo's in town. The Sabres had a stinker against Montreal. I'm taking a leap here. I'm gonna take Buffalo at least on the puck line in that game, and give me a Tage Thompson anytime goal, fellas.
I like it. Tage Thompson definitely packs the punch any given game. Unfortunately, Buffalo has little to no consistency. They got shut out by Sam Montembeault. Before we ended the show, I wanted to mention Sam Montembeault, because I remember Bob Bender said a couple years ago, never mention that guy's name on the show again, but he just had a shutout. He's playing well, so stick tap to Sam Montembeault. So thanks again to Chris Meany for joining us. Nick Alberga, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen. We'll be back at you next week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, leave us a review, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NHL Fantasy Facebook page. Support the show. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.